Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here. And we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in... Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. Children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing, okay? The schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in the child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Hour number three. Welcome aboard. So wanted to give you some instructions with regards to ordering at cgrwellness.com. And you can find that video actually on our Rumble channel, which is Chosen Generation Radio Show at Rumble. Chosen Generation Radio Show at Rumble. And you can find that particular video there. Let me go to my channel. There it is. Chosen Generation Radio Show. Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And you can find ordering from CGR Wellness is on that page if you look it up. But it's rumble.com/C/ Chosen Generation Radio Show. That's the website. All right. Hey, very excited to welcome my guest to the program. She is back from traveling around the world. Right? Yeah. I want to welcome my good friend T. Rose Mandelberg. T. Rose, welcome. Good to have you.
Thanks, Pastor Greg. I'm glad to be here.
Those were some cool pictures. I just have to say, yeah, man, Greece and Israel, and you were all over the place.
Yeah, I was. I've been prepping for this trip for a little over a year. My friend has been doing missions work over in Athens, Greece, so I got to see a little bit of what she's been up to, and then the two of us kind of just use our savings, our piggy bank savings, to kind of just back around. It was really incredible, and it was really cool also to see how different cultures approach issues that we here in America approach. Like in Paris, for example, there was LGBTQ stuff everywhere, but then in other places, like in parts of Italy, it was very religious. In Rome, we've got the Colosseum, we've got the Vatican, all these things. So it was really interesting to see just like different approaches in different cities, but all of it, how it's connected to, you know, the fact this is all God's beautiful creation, and each culture approaches it differently. So it was very interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, and if you'd been in Israel and Tel Aviv before this last transition in government, you probably would have seen a lot more of the rainbow type stuff as well. One of the things we do want to talk about is along the lines of I guess the moral barometers. We've got a 1 year anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade that is coming up in, what is it, 3 days?
Yeah, on the Saturday.
Yeah. So the 24th, I think, is the date. And where's the media with regards to that?
Well, so far, in the last year, we haven't seen any really positive reviews of the fact that Roe has been overturned. You know, the second it happened and leading up to it, of course, we had the leak, the Dobbs leak, which, of course, very unprecedented, you know, ridiculous that even happened. But, you know, when that started, that initiated this fire of the media just bashing pro-lifers and going after us. I'm a pro-lifer. You can call me that if you want. It's not derogatory towards me. But, you know, the media is just consistently and constantly spreading lies, whether it's the fact they say pro-lifers don't care about babies after they're born, or pro-lifers don't care about women. That none of that is true. I mean, certainly there's bad characters on both sides of the aisle, but if you take a look, Pastor Greg, the media is not going to tell you the fact that there's pregnancy centers, there's churches, there's resources, so many resources, free resources provided for so many women and children who, you know, are either in crisis pregnancy or just simply need a little bit of assistance. And I was actually got to watch at Heritage, they had an event with Benjamin Walker, former NFL player, and he talked about how we need to, as pro-lifers, establish this standard that we support life from the womb to the tomb. So whether, you know, a baby is just conceived or somebody is on their deathbed, their life still has dignity. And I think a lot of the media refuses to acknowledge that with the pro-life side of the aisle. They push these talking points that pro-lifers are trying to control women, or this is just another version of The Handmaid's Tale, all this kind of flabbergasting content that you and I both know is very false. But, I was expecting to see lots of it in the media. And so far they've been not too crazy, but I suspect on Saturday, Sunday, right around the 1 year anniversary, they're going to get a little bit more crazy.
Well, it doesn't it also tie in to, you know, this administration's obvious bend towards going after individuals that are pro-life? I mean, some of the things and the events that they have been involved in, I think about Mark Houck and what happened to him, but he's just one of the ones that kind of forced his way into the public's awareness, so to speak. They tried to quell it as quickly as they could, but he's one of several that have been targeted and you know, using this quote unquote face law, they've gone after, and they continue. I mean, the Department of Justice has a hit list when it comes to those that they intend to go after that are bringing the pro-life messaging. You got to wonder on Saturday, you know, will they be, you know, using facial recognition, for example, as a means to, okay, we're going to identify, we're going to profile, we're going to tag, and then we're going to go get them.
Right. I don't know. It's crazy that we're even having this conversation.
Well, sure, I agree. It is. It's nuts. But I mean, you know, I based on what happened, I mean, what we are learning more and more and more, which I've talked about in this program regularly, about J6 and about what really happened on January 6th. When you consider that, and you know, overlay that with what they're doing regarding pro-life people, anybody that doesn't agree with this administration's policies, you know, and that ties directly into the censorship issue that you guys focus on, and how news and media are manipulating public opinion, but are manipulated.
Yeah, it's true. It's crazy. It really is. And the fact that, you know, I'm reading Screwtape Letters right now because it's like fifth time by C.S. Lewis, and it talks about how the devil wants us to, it's essentially the premise of the book is a master devil training an artist. And he's saying, you know, you don't want people to think critically. You don't want people to be thinking about what you're saying. You want them to just hear it and accept it, right? And it's so unfortunate, but that's so representative of what we're seeing in our society. There's a lot of people are just not thinking clearly. And, you know, I'll share a little personal testimony. We were talking about this before going on air here, but I have somebody close to me who is identifying as transgender, and I know this person well. And, you know, aside from the heartbreak I'm feeling, I'm just so genuinely confused because I know that this person is very, very smart. He always, you know, incredible grades, part of Mensa, like very, very intelligent. But despite that, despite his, you know, immaculate grades and academic success and, you know, success, not just in academics, but in just understanding things, he still thinks that he, you know, is living a truth, which, you know, obviously is not. So it's just, it's so crazy, but it also just represents that that's what the left and our administration is helping with and the media is helping with. It's that for people to not use their brains, for them to not think critically. And, you know, we saw this recently. I wrote a story about a girl who at 13, at 11, she said, you know, I think I'm a boy. And so instead of doctors being like, all right, let's talk about this. Let's think critically about this and talk about all of the negatives, what could happen. And, you know, I'm sure that they might have mentioned what quote unquote positives could have happened too. Or that might have been the only thing that they mentioned, the quote-unquote positives. I say that in quotes because there's no positives of cutting off your genitals. But, you know, they didn't want her to think critically. And then now she's 18 years old and has all this deep regret from getting her breast chopped off. It's like the Chloe Cole situation. And the problem is with this is that they don't want people to think critically. So they're only going to tell one side. They're only going to present one side in one particular way. And that's how they're creating this army of confused and vulnerable people because nobody knows how to think for themselves anymore.
I'm going to look and see if I can find this. Let's see, that she could not have her tubes tied. Let me see. There's a so there was a there's a woman that just recently posted a video. I think it was on like TikTok or something along that line. But she had gone in, she's 28 years old, and she was like, you know, I don't want to bring children into what I perceive to be this mess of a world that we're living in right now. And I get that. I understand. But nonetheless, she went in to do that, and she was told, I'm sorry, but we have to, you know, we have to, there has to be an extended moratorium on this, and you really need to think about it, and you have to have some counseling, and there, you know, and so there's this big old process that she has to go through if she really wants to pursue having her tubes tied. So she went home and she started thinking about it. She's like, okay, I'm 28 years old. I am voluntarily making this decision. Now, she's not saying, okay, I'm going to argue that I shouldn't have a conversation with some people. That's fine. But her point was this. Children are being handed life-altering drugs and having life-altering surgeries. Children. Okay? And here she is. 15 years older than these kids, and she can't make that because that could be a life altering decision. You think that chopping off breasts and removing body parts and taking castration medication that by the way is the same medication, and Matt Walsh, you know, does a good job of bringing this out in his video, you know, What Is a Woman. Where he talking to the doctor, you know, well, so here's the drug you're talking about. Isn't this the same drug that they give to rapists in prison as a punishment to chemically castrate them?
Right.
And the response of the doctor, folks, is okay. You know what? If you're going to continue with these kinds of comments, I'm going to have to end this interview. What?
Of course, they don't like to be called out.
Yeah.
They don't like to be, you know, they don't like us to know that they're trying to hurt us.
I'm gonna end the interview. He's like, wait a minute, I'm asking a legitimate question. I'm just asking, is this not the same drug that is given? It says that it is. Is this not the same drug that's given to a criminal who commits rape when they're put in prison to chemically castrate them? Hey, that's all I'm asking. And, wow.
I refuse to answer. It's true. It's like they don't have answers. Or if they do, you know, obviously he's like, no, it is, of course. But if he says that, it doesn't help his case. And it's ridiculous. It's insane.
Well, and you know, the other thing is that they're silencing. There are a lot of folks that are detransitioning now. I played a video from a gentleman that I had found on Facebook Michael Fernandez, I think is his name. Let me see if I can find. Michael Fernandez, and he's got an incredibly powerful testimony, but he was fully trans, and he had, you know, was transitioning into, you know, into a woman, and he lived that way for a period of time until the Holy Spirit, you know, moved on his life, and he's now Michael again, and living out as the man that God, you know, created for him to be. But man, I mean, he talks about the damage, you know, and some of the, you know, permanency of the issues that are associated with it, and what he has to battle. His testimony is just so powerful. Let's see. He's got a book called about being delivered from you know, the trans lifestyle, and it's just very powerful. His website is mfministries.net, Michael Fernandez Ministries. And it's really just very powerful. Delivered from Transsexual Lifestyle is the name of the DVD.
Wow, okay. Let's check it out.
Yeah, very powerful stuff. All right, we're just about at the end of our time. Tell folks how they can turn in their censorship issues.
Yeah, for sure. So, as you know, there's an epidemic of censorship going online, whether it's censoring, generally it's censoring conservative speech. The left doesn't like you to say these truths that Pastor Greg just pointed out a bunch of them. So if you're interested or if you get censored yourself, definitely head on over to censortrack.org. Let's see, I think we've got over 5.5 thousand cases of reported censorship instances where, you know, Pastor Greg's on here where he was and has been censored on various platforms. And we will try to help you out, you know, whether it's even just putting these companies on notice, whether it's Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, any of them, we'll put them on notice, put them in our records that we have something to hold them accountable. And sometimes we're lucky to get accounts readministered or back up. So we'll do whatever we can to help you out.
Absolutely. And I've used their services. It's been wonderful. And put stuff up there. I'm still several of my pages were flagged even after I put in disputes. Now, I'm grateful because Facebook looked at my disputes and said, yep, you're right. You didn't violate standards. You didn't do anything wrong. And we're restoring. But then pages that I'm an administrator on, were impacted by what happened on the main page, which actually was resolved, but the peripheral pages, they didn't resolve.
Mm-hmm.
So you just got to keep fighting the good fight, folks. T. Rose Mandelberg, Newsbusters, censortrack.org, censortrack.org. Well, welcome back to the United States. We're glad to have you home.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very, very pleased and excited to have my next guest with me. She has never appeared on the program before, so this is like a first time. But I'm very excited to have her with me. She is on the advisory board for Save the Persecuted Christians. She is deeply involved in fighting the fight for Christian liberty around the world, and has held a variety of positions in a number of organizations that have been doing this work for a number of years. And I'm just so pleased to have Faith McDonald with us. Faith, thanks for being with us today. I so appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Greg. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know what? As a just kind of a point of introduction, talk to folks a little bit about your background and what got you engaged in the fight for persecuted Christians. Because I'm on calls. This is the first time you and I have had the opportunity to see each other face to face, which is so lovely. And I have heard your incredibly powerful testimonies and voice on calls for, I don't know, the last 5 or 6 years, I think, ever since Phil Haney introduced me to the advisory board at Save the Persecuted Christians. So talk to me about what got you, and you've transitioned a couple of times over the last 6 years. I think with
just one.
I knew I remembered at least one where you had kind of made some shift. But at any rate, tell my audience a little bit about how you engaged and got engaged in this.
Okay, well, it goes back a long way, but I will make it a quick summary.
Okay.
But I actually got involved with the persecuted church when I was still in high school. It started like late in high school. I think I went, my father and mother were officers in the Salvation Army, and my father did a lot of preaching at different places in the Salvation Army. So we went out one day, and I happened upon a leaflet from the Eastern European Bible Mission, it was back then. So, you know, now everybody knows how old I am, because this was communist USSR
just
days.
Just 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's coming back, isn't it?
Oh, so, my gosh.
But yeah, and I was just shocked to know that there were people who were Christians who were being persecuted because there were Christians. And so that kind of triggered my interest. And then when I was in college, I worked at a summer camp, and we went to a big Christian festival that was somewhere in the middle of the a field in New York, Western New York State.
Oh my.
And I happened upon a magazine called Cornerstone, which was put out by a group called Jesus People USA out of Chicago.
Okay.
They were like the original hippies become Christians and started Jesus People USA, and they had this long article called The Valiant, and it was about persecuted Christians still in the Soviet Union. Irina Ratushinskaya, who was in prison for writing poetry in Russia, and all Alexander Ogorodnikov, all these people. And so I just thought, well, you know, this is we who have freedom, we should be taking care of these people. So I started writing to all the organizations and got involved with them, and eventually even got to go over to Moscow and help Alexander Ogorodnikov once he was out of prison to set up the first Christian homeless feeding program in Moscow that the Moscow government actually let him do, because it was during Glasnost time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, it goes back that far. But once the wall came down and the Soviet Union was no more, a lot of us thought, phew, that's the end of Christian persecution. And boy, were we rudely awakened to the truth, which we hadn't even known about was even going on then. So, you know, I eventually went to work at the Institute on Religion and Democracy in Washington, D.C., where I spent 27 years working on advocacy for persecuted Christians. And then in 2021, just thought, you know, before I retire for good, I should do something else. I'm still connected to the persecuted church, but a different kind of way. And I got together with one of our wonderful bishops in the Anglican Church in North America and his wife, Bishop Julian and Brenda Dobbs. And Julian, who used to be the U.S. head of the Barnabas Fund before he became a bishop, had started a small ministry to aid persecuted Christians called Katartismos Global. And Katartismos is the Greek word that means to equip.
Spell it for me. Spell that for me, please, Faith.
Okay. It's K-A-T-A-R-T-I-S-M-O-S. Katartismos. And it means to equip.
K-A-T-O-R-T-I-S.
T as in Tom. K-A-T-A-R. Katartismos. M-O-S.
Got it.
And it's from Ephesians.
Dot org? Is it dot org or dot com?
It's actually, the website is KGI, to make it easier for people.
Oh, how nice.
KGI Global.
Okay.
Dot org. Yes. And it's from where Paul was talking about how God brought the fivefold ministry for the equipping, the katartismos of the believers for Hallelujah. The work of ministry.
Yes, ma'am.
So we want to equip Christians in America to be strong advocates for their brothers and sisters around the world.
I love it. I love it.
You know, let me tell you this.
I found
out another meaning. It doesn't just mean to equip, which it when it's says equip in the Greek, it comes from talking about like furnishing or equipping an office with the things it needs, or a house with the things it needs. But there's also a connection to the word that in Greek was used in medical terms to mean aligning the body, aligning the skeleton. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, we are not properly aligned as a body if we are not focusing on the parts of the body that are going through such brokenness and persecution. Amen. So, you know, we have to be God's chiropractor.
Wow. Wow. That is really, really insightful, because you're right. And the American church, unfortunately, not only is it broken on its interaction on the world scale, but even at home. I mean, there's the fragmentation. I was at an event this past Saturday, which was a rally, a praise rally, and the theme of it was trying to create unity, obviously unity without the compromise, because you and I both know you can't, you know, you're not trying to mix in and say, you know, well, we're going to call evil good and good evil, but where we can unify with others that have, you know, they're like the PCA and other different ones that have broke off and said, hey, you know, we're going to stand for biblical integrity and biblical truth. And one of the stories that I shared yes. was how in India, in Punjab, we had some miracles happen that touched the political class. And they came to our church to hear my testimony and the presentation of the gospel. And only later did I find out that never before in the history of Punjab had the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Catholics, the Pentecostals, the Baptists, all come together under one roof to actually listen to the gospel preached.
Praise God. Wow.
And yeah, it was all because of God. God did a miracle at one of our home meetings. And that miracle actually was setting a political prisoner free. One of the Christian congressmen had been taken into custody and told he would not have a bail hearing for a year.
Oh, my. Wow.
And that Sunday night, his wife came to the meeting. Neither I nor Pastor Samuel knew that she was even in the house. But as I finished sharing my testimony over Skype and began to pray, the Holy Spirit said, pray for a prisoner to be released. Pray the prayer that was prayed for Peter and John to be released from prison. And I'm like, oh, man, I feel the chills right now. I'm like, okay, Lord. And so I prayed that prayer, thinking, because all I knew at that time is I'm talking to pastors. I didn't know anything about anybody else. And the other miracle that happened in that was, is the Lord also told me to pray for a business person. Little did I know that the home that it was being hosted in was a wealthy businessman who was so touched by the fact that the pastor from America prayed for him, not knowing that he was praying for him, gave each one of those ministers 500 rupees at the dinner.
Wow, praise God. That's awesome.
And so the next morning, that congressman is released from prison.
Wow.
He shows up, he knocks on the wife hears a knock on the door. She opens the door. Yeah. She opens the door and she's like, "Ah! What are you doing?" Grabs him and pulls him in, starts yelling at him, you know, you broke out of jail. I can't believe you broke out of prison. We're all going to go to jail. Now we got to pack the house. We got to move. We got to run, you know, and finally she takes a breath and he's like, "Stop. Let me tell you. They came to my cell this morning. They handed me my clothes, and they said, all charges have been dropped. You're free to go."
Wow.
Well, then she remembers, right? Hallelujah. Then she remembers, wait a minute, there was an American pastor last night at a meeting that I went to who didn't know anything about you, but he prayed this prayer. It was for you. So he tracks us down and finds us. 2 hours he waited for Pastor Samuel to show up at the next house where we were having our meeting. Tells Samuel the story. The next week they have a meeting of Congress. He's there. Well, they all think he's in jail. So they're freaking out. They're like, no, you got to go away because you're going to get us all arrested because you're supposed to be in prison and you've obviously broken out. We don't know how you got out, but you're not. And he's like, no, let me tell you what happened. And so then Pastor Samuel gets a phone call. And at that time, Faith, as you know, in these persecuted countries, you try to keep a low profile. We were trying to keep a low profile. And all of a sudden, Pastor Samuel gets contacted by this guy, and he's like, hey, listen, all the members of the Christian Congress for the entire country or the entire state of Punjab want to come to your church. And he calls me, and he's like, called me on Messenger, and he's like, Pastor, I think we've got a problem. I'm like, what's going on? Well, let me tell you. Oh, my goodness. You know, but praise God, right? Praise God. Because it's part of the reason we've had this massive growth. Because we've had favor, because people have seen God work. Talk about that for a minute. You've been very involved in on seeing the persecution. And I always found I've done some traveling abroad before my injuries, and was always impacted by how signs and wonders and healings and how God moved miraculously in the midst of these heavily persecuted places. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. There have been times when there have been miracles that have taken place that we don't even know about, you know, or for instance, I've done a lot of work on Sudan and South Sudan over the years. And that was one of my main focuses and still is. There were times during the war where God just showed up miraculously on behalf of the people of Southern Sudan, which is now the country of South Sudan. But back then, there were parts of Southern Sudan that were occupied by the Islamist government. The army came in and took over those villages, you know, as they do in a war. And it was horrible for the people. And, you know, we could go into all the persecution that took place, as well as sure. The slave raids that took place, things like that. But there were at least two instances I know of where the people were praying, and the Southern Army, the Sudan People's Liberation Army, which was made up of many, many Christians, as well as just people who didn't want radical Islam, even Muslims from the South. They were going to try to take back the town of Louis in South Sudan, in Equatoria. And it was like Jericho. I mean, they didn't have to fire a shot. As the army approached, the government army just fled the town, and they took back Louis without one shot being fired.
Wow.
And It's wonderful, but you know, the part that was sad to me was that the people of Louis didn't even have the Old Testament in their language at that time. They didn't even know that they were like living Old Testament stuff.
Right.
And it's taken a while. I mean, that most of the languages of South Sudan have now had their own translations. So that's okay. Good. But another case I can think of, a wonderful miracle, is in Nigeria, where one of our bishops in the Anglican Church of Nigeria, actually Archbishop Ben Kouachi, who's the Archbishop of Jos, he was attacked. His house was attacked by Islamists, and this was before even Boko Haram came around. This was earlier than that time, and they came and they were going to kill him. They said, you know, you're causing too much trouble. You're bringing too many Muslims, making them change to Christianity, and they marched him out of his house and had him in his front lawn and were going to shoot him. And they said, well, if you want, you can pray to your God before we shoot you. Well, that was their mistake, because Archbishop Ben kneeled down on the ground and was praying. And while he was praying, he heard all these thuds and these feet running, and they just dropped their weapons and ran away. So it would have been cool to see the angels that had shown up to, push them out of the way. But we know that it was the hand of God, because Archbishop Ben, you know, God knew that he had many more years that he needed to be on this earth and to be working for the kingdom. So, yeah, those are the kind of things that we wish we heard more of. And maybe Amen. Even more miraculous are the people who keep going, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and say, even if God doesn't save us, we will still be true. So, yeah, they're amazing.
Well, and one never knows how God is aligning all of that either. You know, with my accident, in 2004, I was given 3 to 6 months to live. 13 years before my accident, my wow. adrenal gland, my pituitary gland quit working. And I still take, to this day, I take naturopathics. All the internists sent me home to die. They said, there were six of them. And they said, sorry, we can't help you. And they sent me home. I was green and gray and yellow from head to toe. And I was my business had collapsed because of 9/11. I had to lay off 65 people. We were in the process of having to sell our house. But I had started doing a Christian radio program called A Dose of the Ghost, which was holy hip hop with a message. And that led to me guest hosting on a longtime television program that aired in Sacramento, California, called The 11th Hour. And so I would guest co-host. And the Holy Spirit, as I'm lying in bed, said, go see Sandy. She's the executive producer, or was, of the show. And my wife is like, baby, I don't know how you're even going to get there. You're so sick. And I said, I don't know. But the Holy Ghost said, I got to go see her. And I did. And she connected me with a naturopath. Long story short, I did not get healed between 2004 and 2017. I still have that going on in my body. However, because I was taking all of the nutrients that you normally wouldn't have in your body at 55 years of age, when the accident happened, my body was able to assimilate things that were built up in it that normally wouldn't be there, like DHEA and the building blocks of life, so to speak, that your body doesn't produce at 55. But I had that stuff in me because I needed it to support my endocrine system.
Wow. Uh-huh.
And so in those 13 years, traveling as I did and praying for people, I had blind eyes opened, deaf ears opened, tumors healed, lame walk in the Republic of Benin, blind eyes opened in Lagos, Nigeria at a Foursquare International healing event that I was a part of. A good friend raised from the dead off of his kitchen floor. And yet in the midst of all of those healings, I didn't get healed. I had to still keep taking my pills. And people would say to me, they'd be, well, aren't you discouraged? I mean, you see these people get healed, but you don't get healed. And I'm like, his grace is sufficient. He's got a plan. He's got a plan. And of course, part of that plan, and I had a doctor when I was in acute care that came in. They were taking blood out of me. I was in an acute care rehab facility. After, you know, about, I don't know, 2 months down the road from the accident. And they're taking blood every morning. And he comes in and he says, listen, I've got some kind of not so great news. And I'm like, okay. He said, I know you survived this accident and all, but he said, what I'm about to tell you, you won't survive. Your pituitary gland and your adrenal gland aren't working. And I start laughing. And he's like, what? Okay, obviously you know something I don't know. And I'm like, yeah, I said, I've had that problem for a long time. And he said, well, whatever you've been doing about it, get your family to bring that stuff in. So they literally signed off on naturopathic medicine and administered it to me out of their pharmacy.
That's a miracle in itself.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's like if the doctor prescribed hydroxychloroquine.
No doubt. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. No kidding. So, you know, to your point, though, with the with the man, you know, with the bishop who's on his knees, closes his eyes and just says, you know what? By faith, I'm going to trust you in this. I don't know what you're up to, God. I don't know what you're doing, but I know you're doing something. And if I die, then I'm in your presence. And if I live, then I glorify your name and I share this testimony. But either way, we win.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, we win. And we need to have that kind of faith again for our person. Because when you're over there, you know, a Coptic Christian about to get your head cut off, and yet you're handing your Bible to the man that's going to kill you, and he's so impacted by that, that even though he's ordered to kill you and he cuts your head off, but later he picks up that Bible and he says, man, this God, there's something about him that was different. There's something about this God that's real.
Wow. It's, you know, you mentioned Coptic Christians. I was just at the annual conference of the group called Coptic Solidarity. And testimonies like that were there. And we heard from a Coptic filmmaker who lives in Boston, who's making a movie about the 21 martyrs. It's going to be incredible. He's a very well accomplished filmmaker, and a Christian. And, he just wanted to put their story out there in a way that hasn't been told before about the miracles that took place, even with their captivity, and the fact of their amazing families who thank God that their men had the honor of dying for Jesus. And, you know, things that you just think, how can they even think that way? It's just so amazing. Yeah. And the title of the film is Blue Bone. And he asked everybody there, you know, do you know why I've made it Blue Bone? And only the older Coptic men were the ones in the audience who knew. And they said, yes, it's this Coptic legend or knowledge, really, that when Christ carried the cross on his back, that the bone at the back of his neck and shoulders was bruised by the weight of the cross, and it became his skin there became blue. So they call it Blue Bone. When I heard that, I just had chills all over. I thought, what an amazing, you know, story, because these men were carrying the cross in such an amazing way, and marked and glorified in a way that was just so incredible. So yeah, so keep an eye out for Blue Bone when Raouf Zaki is the name of the filmmaker, and I'm so excited about it. I want to be one of the PR people to push.
Amen. Blue Bone. That's incredible.
Investors right now. So
all right. Stay right there. If you have a few more minutes, don't go anywhere. If you would be so kind.
Okay.
Folks, our TECNTV.com audience, I know that that Texas Fully Loaded and Sandra has a great program, and she's ready to roll. If you want to continue to watch, Faith and I are going to have a couple more minutes of conversation here about this important topic of Christian persecution, but about faith that perseveres. And it's so important. We need that today. Switch over. You can go to Facebook, go to Chosen Generation Radio Show and watch us there. You can also watch us at Clout Hub at Pastor Greg CGR, at Pastor Greg CGR on Clout Hub, or at Getter at Pastor Greg CGR. Getter at Pastor Greg CGR. And, there we go. All right. So I had to release release one of the feeds, and then, yeah. And, you know, you were talking about, you know, the ability to be able to press through, and, you know, there's a scripture that says you have not yet resisted to bloodshed. You know the scripture I'm talking about, right? And he's talking about resisting sin, but he's talking about standing on your faith. And he says, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed. And when I think about the stories that we hear on a regular basis, from people that come to our gathering and testify on the phone and testify at our meetings about what's happening. And as we're in, you know, I mean, you and I are on this, a number of the same, you know, text streams where we're getting these live updates of what's really happening around the world. Mm-hmm. I just think about these people who know the danger of saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very humbling and, you know, it life transforming. I feel honored to have done the work that I've been doing all these years. And it's so strengthening to your faith. You know, there are times when you get really depressed because you know what, the same thing that I do. We look at our phone and we get pictures of people massacred. We get pictures of bodies and beheaded people and all kinds of things. And it really wears on you. Sure. Sometimes I just have to like go back for the joy. You know, there was one time when I was invited to come to the premiere of a film about the Lost Boys of Sudan. I just couldn't take another thing right then. I had already, you know, I'd been working with the Lost Boys. I knew all about them. This was a new film. I'd seen other films about them. And I was just at a point where, okay, I can go to that. I can meet Reese Witherspoon in person because she was in this movie.
Okay.
Or I can go to a concert by Rend Collective and worship and jump up and down and praise God. And I just needed that. So
yeah.
It takes the wisdom of knowing when, you know, you need to be refilled too.
Well, you know, Jesus did that, right? I mean, you know, the word says that, you know, that he took time away and went up to the top of the mountain and prayed and mm-hmm. went into the upper room and prayed. I mean, there were places where Christ took a pause and went and just spent time, you know, being ministered to, I'm sure, by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just refreshing in the presence of the Father.
Yeah. But it really, it strengthens your faith. You know, I said you can get depressed, but even way back when I was working on the Soviet Union stuff, mm-hmm. to see the answers to your prayers in flesh and blood, like, you know, we prayed for Alexander Ogorodnikov, who was in prison in solitary confinement in a punishment cell in the Soviet Union, where they kept the temperature at like 30 degrees to punish him, where they broke his hand for making the sign of the cross, which is why I now, who grew up in the Salvation Army, make the sign of the cross all the time.
Okay.
In honor of those Christians that did that. But when we prayed for Alexander Ogorodnikov and God answered those prayers and he was released from prison, and I got to meet him first in the United States when he came to a conference in the U.S., it's wow. Like you think, wow, God really does answer prayer. This is the guy who we prayed for so long, and here he is. And that would happen over and over, you know. And wow. Arina Ratushinskaya, the Russian poet, she wrote a poem about how when she was in the same thing, this punishment cell where you're freezing, and she was huddled against an icy wall, suddenly she would feel this warmth come over her. And she knew at that time that people were praying for her.
Wow.
And it just it's just amazing. Yeah.
Powerful. I have your website up on the screen next to you, Catartivus Global. There's one of the things that's up there is Minamar Gafkan scholarship. Talk to us about the Minamar Gafkan scholarship. What's that? What's that going on with that?
Actually, I can't talk to you about that. Oh, that's okay. Bishop Dobbs' deal.
Okay.
The website is kind of about both what the diocese, his diocese is doing, and what I'm doing for him as the director of advocacy.
Okay.
But I
So there's a picture. There's a picture of you. There's a gentleman that has on a purple shirt and a collar. And then there's a gentleman next to him that has on a kind of a cardigan-like sweater.
Ah, I want to see. I don't know which one is it. Is one of them an African?
Yes, one of them is an African man, and the other one is an Anglo man.
Okay. That's the picture. The Anglo is Bishop Julian Dobbs, my boss, who is originally from New Zealand, but was made a bishop in the Anglican Church of Nigeria. The primate of the Anglican Church in Nigeria, which is about 22 million people in Nigeria, Anglicans are, and they thought that the people who had moved to America and were going to the Episcopal Church were like, what is this? This is not at all like our church. They don't believe the same things. So they decided to have an Anglican Nigerian church in America. So Bishop Dobbs was originally, he was like their missionary bishop Anglican Nigerian.
I remember when that happened because we had, I was doing a church and we were meeting on Saturday nights because we couldn't find a Sunday meet place, and we were meeting at a Nazarene church, and just down the road from us was an Episcopalian church, and they were going through that whole thing where they were basically accepting homosexuality and calling it good, which it's not. And so the membership there had voted no, we're not going along with that. And so they were evicted from the building. They had to go find another place to meet, and it was the Nigerian, the African Anglican body that they put themselves under, because they split from the one in, I guess, England or whatever, wherever the headquarters was that was embracing all this heretical nonsense.
Well, at least in New York, on Riverside Drive in New York City, the Episcopal Church in the United States. But they've gone even farther and split from the Anglican Communion under England. Yeah, the Archbishop of Canterbury. This year, they made that decision that we are separate from them because England did the same thing. But and the other man in that photo is Archbishop Ben Kouassi, who I was talking about.
Okay.
The Archbishop
that got down on his knees and prayed the prayer. How fortuitous for me to find that picture. God was already working it out. See folks, we're giving you an example. This is exactly what we've been talking about, how God is working and aligning things. And we don't even realize how intricately involved in our lives he is and he wants to be.
Amen.
And I guess we can kind of close with this idea. When we talk about praying, the Word of God tells us that we are supposed to pray always for all the saints. And you might sit there and think to yourself, I got the kids and I got the work and I got the groceries and I got to fix it. And you got all these things that are going on. Even as Faith and I are talking right now, no disrespect to her and no disrespect to me, but we both have other things that are happening in our lives that are subconsciously a part of our stream of thought, even as we're engaged in this conversation. You need to make one of those streams communication with the Father. That's praying always. Dad, what are you saying? What do you want me to say? What thoughts am I supposed to be holding on to? What thoughts do I need to let go of? What actions are coming next? You're already preparing the way because you already know, and I need to align with that. And as you're thinking about that, Lord, help our brothers and sisters that are being persecuted. Help our brothers and sisters that are in need right now. You know the need. I don't know the need. Faith doesn't necessarily know the need, but we know that the Father does. And he desires, he turns his ear. The Word of God says he has his ear turned, and he's saying, talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Wow. We can do it.
Amen.
We just need to make a willful decision to say, yes, Lord, I want to talk to you.
Amen.
Faith, would you lead us out with a word of prayer?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We bless you. We glorify you, O Lord, because you are the King. Jesus, we thank you for your power, your transforming power in our lives and in the lives of all who turn to you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We thank you for being with us, for being the comforter. God, I thank you for this time that I was able to spend with Pastor Greg. Thank you, Lord, for preserving his life. Thank you for revealing the things that were needed in order for him to be strong and healthy. And God, we thank you for this message that is going out to so many people, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of all those who hear it with what Greg said about using the time that they have in this life to think about their brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering for you, to pray for them, Lord, to be their advocates in the ways that you call them to be. Thank you that when we open ourselves to you, Lord, you speak to us and you direct us, God. Help us to be open to your direction. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray for them right now, God, that even as Irina Ratushinskaya felt the warmth from prayer, that they would feel the power of the Holy Spirit as we pray, God, that they would feel, that they would know miracles happening, Lord. They don't need us for miracles to happen because they have many more miracles happen than we do in America. But Lord, we want them to be delivered. We want them to be safe, God, when it is your will, God, we want them to be mighty witnesses of your power and glory on this earth. So bring glory to yourself, Lord Jesus, and we pray it in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Faith, thank you so much for that. Thank you. And thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Sure. It was great. Anytime. I love talking about these things, and you know, it's good to find somebody else to talk to.
Amen. Amen. All right, folks, signing off. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for watching. Please share the video, share the link, and let's get more people engaged and involved in praying for our persecuted brothers and sisters. God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, tomorrow will be our live India service at the close of our program tomorrow, and so we'll be doing another live outreach tomorrow in India. God bless you, and have a great rest of your day.